for you youngsters in here, I apologize, but for us older folks and guys and gals that have been walking a little bit, you know, time will come. Your time will come. But I will say, over the last week, I've just been thinking about my last 3 years, and they've probably been the most difficult last 3 years I've had. And I think as we get older, these realities set in that there is finality, that things don't go the way we thought they would. And, well, I've had conversations, numerous conversations recently, that just made me look at my own mortality. And yet, through the last 3 years that have been so difficult and so just hard for me to internalize, God keeps on giving me this word. And this word comes from Psalm 139. If you have a Bible, I would ask that you would turn there. Because I believe that God is doing such a different work in me. And of course, in this church, He's always doing a fresh work, a new work. But I don't know. A lot of times we just get stuck in what doesn't work. A lot of times we get stuck in what's not right. We get stuck in the judgment of what we see. We just get stuck because we look through a lens of brokenness. And so whether we're young or old, we can. Life circumstance takes us to places that we would rather not, well, we just want to avoid. And God continues to remind me that that's not where He desires us to be. As a matter of fact, He has something so completely different than from where I get stuck that even today was the worst. I woke up today, I went and worked out, then I lost my phone. Just saying. When's the last time you lost your phone? Because we can't function without our electronics anymore, right? And I mean, boy, you could ask my kids. My blood pressure rose. And I'm trying to drive, because I'm like, well, I must have left it at the Y. So I start driving that way. Well, you got a 45-mile-an-hour road, and everybody's doing 30. So the blood pressure keeps on going. I don't have anything to text people here to let them know I'm late. And I'm like, I should have found get my laptop out somewhere at a McDonald's or something. Anyway, your brain goes to all these places. And I think that our day-to-day, if it's not like my morning was, if anything, we can always find something to complain about. Or something all, you know, and it just doesn't get better, does it? But God says He has something different for us. And Psalm 139 continually, for the last 3 years, has reminded me of God's love to me and how specific His love is to me. And tonight, I just want to share that with you guys. That maybe we could release. That maybe we could stop. That maybe I wouldn't want to, like, be mad at the people in front of me that are going 10 miles an hour. Maybe I can just take a breath and realize that God desires to have close, personal relationship. And He didn't stop when I received Him into my life. He didn't stop. He's still not stopped. He's still working. We have that fancy word, sanctification. I think I taught on that last time. But He's still working in us, I hope. And this psalm reminds us of His work, His workmanship. As they say, we are His poema. And as a matter of fact, Oswald Chambers says, I love the way he says this, a life of intimacy with God is characterized by joy. And the great St. Augustine stated, to fall in love with God is the greatest romance. To seek Him, the greatest adventure. to find him the greatest human achievement. Now, you just hear that. When you hear of that relationship, that love that he has for us, it hasn't changed from the day you met him. As a matter of fact, I would even argue that even before you knew him, he desired to know you. And that's what the scripture is going to unveil, is that before you were even born, he knew your name and he knew who you were, and he was already obsessed with you. And so intimacy, I'm going to say that word so many times tonight, it's going to make you uncomfortable. And so my apologies now. But it is. And we take this word of intimacy, if you were to use it by worldly standard, and it probably wouldn't be too great. It wouldn't mean what God intends for us and his love for us. Intimacy actually can be a physical, emotional, intellectual, spiritual, experiential, social, creative, or aesthetic like love and relationship. It can be a lot of things. But here, the Bible points out that we can have deep intimacy with God that checks all those boxes. There's nothing in this world that will check all those boxes off like God. He will give us all those things. This evening, as we look at Psalm 139, I want to focus on intentional intimacy with God. He wants to have each of us. He is calling out to each of us still. There is nothing worse than when I hear men talk about ministry they used to do, and they think that God is just done using them. You're not done. I'm not done. You're not done. And if that's what the devil has told you, that you are done, you just rebuke that devil in the name of Jesus. You get aligned with the Father and say, oh, I'm not done. I'm coming. Because Jesus is returning. And when we know this, he's not going to just leave us hanging out to dry. And this psalm, as we open up, it's a Davidic psalm. It's that final collection towards the end of Psalms, that 138 through 145. 139 is a hymn of affirmation of who God is and his perfect knowledge of mankind. So we'll notice close this familiarity as the psalmist speaking to God in private. He's crying out to him. He's like, there's this beautiful recognition of who God is as he cries out to God, as he appeals to God. That's one thing that I don't know. I think God is teaching me about who he is, and to be in awe and recognize who he is the older I get, the closer I get to that place, right? The finish line. To be in awe of him. To be like, wow, Lord, wow. And you see me? And you know me? And you want to know me? Right? So in this text, we see the psalmist speaking to God in private, acknowledging God and asking God's greatness, his omniscience, omnipresence. And omni, when we hear this big old word of omni, it just means all. You heard the song, All in All. You are my all in all. It's because he's all. He's everything. And that's what omni, every time we hear that tonight, we'll know that just means he's all. He is all intimacy is what he is. And so as we dig, we're going to find out that this relationship that he has with mankind, he is pouring his all into. We find out quickly the psalm combines praise of a creator, appeal to his wisdom, and meditation on a God who knows all and encompasses all. What we find, that even though we are experiencing a God that, well, let's face it, we don't fully understand him, there is still an understanding that he allows his children to have of him, and it's very precious. Because he desires true intimacy with his creation. True intimacy. Not just fake, not just like, oh, by the way, not the fake smiles and nods that a lot of times we give people. No, he is fully vested. He is fully committed. to the cause. God provides us an opportunity. This is beautiful because the world doesn't offer it. He provides true intimacy with Him. Intimacy with God, like if we want to take, I gave just a basic definition earlier, but here's one that's more biblical. Here we see intimacy with God refers to the deep, personal, and close relationship with God, characterized by a sense of knowing and being known by Him, where one experiences a profound connection through trust, love, and obedience, going beyond mere religious practices. This is not about laws and religion. It involves a genuine and vulnerable connection with the divine. Essentially, it's like having a very close friend. It's a beautiful friendship. In this psalm, we will see that he has accomplished this deep intimacy through being that individual that we can always go to. And so if you're taking notes tonight, we will know this. Excuse me, because he is, and how, sorry, is we will acknowledge his knowing. So my points, I got lost here. So the psalm, as we look at it, as we look at the intimacy that God brings us, what it is, it's about us acknowledging him. It's about us acknowledging who he is. And it's about acknowledging that he knows us. See, a lot of us want to say, well, no one knows us better than we know ourselves, right? Wrong. God knows us better. And there's a lot of times we worry about people and we're like, well, you don't know him, God. He's real. No, God knows them. And he loves them more than you. I found that hard to understand when I first became a believer, that God loves my children more than me and that I needed to give my children over to the Lord in order to raise them correctly, that I was a steward of them. But that first piece is to acknowledge his knowing. The second piece is to acknowledge his presence. The third is to acknowledge his power. And the last is to ask for his help. So, let's go ahead and get in and let's read this first chunk. This is verses 1 through 6, 139. O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know my sitting down and my rising up. You understand my thought afar off. You comprehend my path and my lying down, and are acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word on my tongue, but behold, O Lord, you know it altogether. You have hedged me behind and before, and laid your hand upon me. Such a knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain it. Feel that somehow we can. So here we have a nice portion here of acknowledging his knowing. He knows us. No matter where we go, no matter how far we run, he knows what's about to come out of your mouth. And yet we just somehow get locked in these places in our life where we think that we have control, that we think we know something, and we don't really think about being smarter than God. You know, we tell ourselves we are by our behavior, by trying to take control of our lives, by trying to take control of people around us, because we want to have the knowledge, right? We want to have the fool's wisdom. The problem with our knowledge and our control is the only thing it controls is us. And then God, he's there, but you're doing your thing, right? But this psalmist, as he cries out, says, God, I'm not even going to try. I'm not even going to try to act like I know. He said, you know everything. You know the word that's going to come out of my mouth. You already know what I'm going to think, that bad thought before I think it. You know where my heart is. You already know my judgment. You already know that I think that I've got, I don't even know why I don't give up. You know what, God? I don't even know if I'm a believer anymore. He knows all those thoughts. He knows all your doubts. He knows all those things that you have been through. And you feel like it's punishment, that God's punishing you. He knows that. And it's a lie. He's not punishing you. He knows you. And he's paying attention. He's paying attention. You know, it's actually, again, that word that we need to acknowledge his knowing for that intimacy that he longs to have with us. It's that omniscience, the state of knowing everything, that knowing all. So he knows all. Romans 8:28 says, "And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose." See, he knows. We know. We acknowledge him because he works everything together for good. Because why? Not because he doesn't know. He knows what's going on since before time. He's outside of time. And so Jeremiah 29:11 is another great scripture for that. "I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope." Again, he knows what he intends for you. But what do you intend for you? What do I intend for James today? We have a lot of ideas about what we need to tend to do. But God's saying, if you could just slow down. Because I'll be honest, somebody knowing everything about me, could you imagine if like everybody in this room knew everything about you? It would be terrifying, wouldn't it? I'd be terrified. As a matter of fact, you'd probably all run out screaming. Right? Like pre-Jesus James is not a pretty sight. But here we see that, like, man, it's not creepy. As a matter of fact, J. Vernon McGee stated, "Actually, God's omniscience, his all-knowing, is not an occasion for terror, but for comfort. Because he saved us despite him knowing our condition and all the things about us that are wrong." And what a beautiful testimony to the intimacy that he desires to have with all of us. Because left to our own knowledge, as I stated earlier, it's a fool's errand. And we also know because of Proverbs 9:10, it says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding." Because it's true, right? And so that first piece leads us to our second piece, which is to acknowledge his presence. So we need to recognize, we need to acknowledge, as the psalmist does, that he knows better than we do, and to give in to that, to surrender to that. And the next piece, let's just read that, and that's 7 through 12. It says, "Where can I go from your spirit? Oh, where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend into heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the utmost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me, and your right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall fall on me, even the night shall be light about me. Indeed, the darkness shall not hide from you, but the night shines as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to you." Acknowledging his presence. This is a beautiful... How many of us feel alone, even in a room full of people? Sometimes I feel alone at home when I have my loved ones around me. Don't get too real, James. You better stop that. You better stop that. That's no way for a Christian to speak. We always love our family. Well, I'm not saying that. I'm saying, do we not sometimes feel alone even when we're nearest the ones we love? Sometimes we are. And it's okay. It's okay. God knows that. But this is the encouragement God is giving you, is he is everywhere all at once. He is there with us now. Well, why do I need to... Why do I need to ask for forgiveness of my sins if he knows I'm there and he knows all about me? Well, you know, why do I? Because, guys, this is why. He wants us to be in agreement with him. See, his presence is with us. And when we're in agreement with him, the intimacy flourishes. But if we're sinning, yes, he sees it, but we're sinning, so we're not in agreement with him, because we know that God, what, loves the sinner, hates the sin. And he just needs us to be in agreement with him. And this presence that he desires for us to be in agreement with, this is a Psalm 139:7. Again, we just read it. Where can I go from your spirit? Or where can I flee from your presence? You can't. And I would say anyone who's trying to run away from God right now, which some of us, even as Christians who've been walking, some days we wake up and say, Lord, I don't want to go do that. How many times have in your life have you known you should have talked to somebody and God wants you to love somebody and you turned around and went the other way? I have. Again, something I've done in my own home. God's telling me to talk to my wife. I'm like, have you talked to my wife on this topic before? I don't think so, Lord. I will turn around now. But God says, you know, if you surrender to my presence, if you just come into agreement with me, we can do a lot of things. We can do a lot of cool things. We can mend and grow intimacy within, within the family? We can grow intimacy within friendships. And that's what God desires. That's why he's reminding you, you're not going in without support. You're not going in without support. I mean, if you've ever had to go and do something that you wanted to bring, it's so hard that you want to bring someone else with you. Guess what? You are. You are every time. Every time you're bringing the support of the God Almighty, the one who made everything. We cannot flee because he is engaging us continually. We can run, but we cannot hide. Psalms 121, 5 through 8 says, the Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your coming and going, both now and forevermore. Guys, when I read this, and I'm having a hard day when I'm reading through the Psalm 139, and he's saying, James, I want to have intimacy with you. I want to be close to you. I don't want you to ever leave me. I know about you, and it's okay. I'm here to hold you. Just be with me. Just be with me. And he's not trying to suffocate me. He's like, I just want to, can we just, would you let me? Would you let me love you? So he is there because his power created us. Again, as I said earlier, he has a vested interest even before time began. And so this last piece here, well, it's not the last piece, it's the third point, which is acknowledging his power, his omnipotence. Verse 13 through 18, it says, for you formed my inward parts. You covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows you very well, or it knows very well. My frame is not hidden from you. When I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the lowest parts of the earth, your eyes saw my substance being yet unformed, and in your book they all were written. The days fashioned for me, when as yet there were none of them. How precious also are your thoughts to me, O God. How great is the sum of them. If I should count them, they would be more in number than the sand. When I wake, I am still with you. So here we move from an acknowledgement of that he's not only does he know us, he's always with us, and now we have to recognize, we have to acknowledge that it is his power that made us. It is his power, this perfect balance that everything sits. As our earth sits perfectly, just the right distance from the sun, to not burn up or not to be so cold that we would all die, that we would all freeze to death. Everything's in perfect harmony. Even in the broken state we are, he's holding it. And so in Colossians, and omnipotence, again, it's just the property or of being all-powerful. God is all-powerful. Colossians 1:16 is a great scripture to give example. For by him all things were created, that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created through him and for him. And he is being before all things, and in him all things consist. It is his power. He is in everything. So what awe at this point should we have to a God that can speak everything that we experience into being? The God that holds everything together long enough to save our soul from the fires of Sheol. He's holding it all in perfect balance to get us out. And I just, how can we not be in awe of that? How can we not cry out to him? How can we not get our eyes off our circumstance? Right? But I know. We wake up and we just kind of get to doing our things, right? And I mean, I am so guilty. Like I told you today, my mind was not on Psalm 139 when I lost my phone. But the power that could easily be used for destruction of this broken creation is held perfectly. His presence, his magnificence, in all that we can see, and then especially in the things we cannot see, but even more than this, that knowledge, more than presence, more than power, he offers us intimacy through relationship. And this is this last part that we're going to look at. And we see in the last part of the psalmist, he appeals to his God as he aligns himself with righteousness and asks to be searched and then for guidance. And I love this because this whole time he's been recognizing God. He's acknowledging God for all who he is, for his knowledge, for his presence, for his power. And he says, God, wow, I want to be in line with you. I want this intimacy with you. I want to be one with you. I want this relationship. He says here, verse 19, "Oh, that you would slay the wicked, O God. Depart from me, therefore, you bloodthirsty men, for they speak against you wickedly. Your enemies take your name in vain. Do I not hate them, O Lord, who hate you? And do I not loathe those who rise up against you? I hate them with perfect hatred. I count them my enemies." So I just got to stop right there. His heart is aligned with God's in that he does not approve of evil. And he's saying, God, do what you need to do to get these guys right. Get them in line. Because I know you don't approve of this behavior. And, you know, the commentary is that the psalmist is being done maybe wrong, or there's a group of people who are coming for him with false judgment, and he's saying, God, be my judge, be my king, be my ruler, and make this right. I have this intimacy with you. I recognize who you are. I want to be in agreeance with you. But he says, and this is the thing, is this is great, because he's asking for help. He says, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxieties and see if there's any wicked way in me and lead me in the way everlasting. So my last point is to ask for help. Because we have, since we used all the omni words, I had to find another omni word. I needed to find another thing that matched with asking for help. He's all social. We're all inclusive, omnisocial. I couldn't use omni-relational because it was too weird. But this is for everyone. If anybody in here does not know our God, He wants to have the most fulfilling relationship you have ever had. And right now, if you're feeling stagnant in your walk, if you're feeling like everything is falling apart, He is saying now, He's saying, I know you, I am with you. What? I have the power because I created you and I will take you home. You will be with me forever. And cry out to me because I want to talk to you. I want to talk. I want to hear. I want to hear you. I want to hear how things are falling apart. I want to hear how you don't feel loved. I want to hear why you feel like you're the only person in the room. I want to feel why, you know, you're so frustrated over losing your phone. It's silly, right? Not to Him. I want to hear you, James, why you feel like maybe you've lost your faith because your mom has passed. And he wanted to hear me. And it's because of this. Because of this place that he resides of who He is to us. He desires to help. He desires to help all people who would turn to Him, who would have come into agreeance with Him. He offers this intimacy to all creation. But the realization is up to us. The acknowledgement is up to us. I praise the Lord that He is inclusive. The price of entry is the same for everyone because He paid the charge of entry. Hereafter, we see all the ways that the Lord wants to love us and be intimate with us and have relationship with us. It's hard not to look as the psalmist reads about the wicked man and not to think about ourselves. I don't see myself as the psalmist. I see myself as the wicked man a lot of times that the psalmist is praying against. It's hard not to see oneself as we see the prayer. As our psalmist prays against the wicked, does he not see that he has his own iniquity? Sure he does. That's why he cries out, "Search my heart, Lord. Search my heart. Look at me. And if there's something messed up, let me come into agreeance with you." So he says, "Search my heart." The psalmist understands he can take an all-knowing, all-present, all-powerful God for granted. Is what he realizes. And that's why he has to ask for his heart to be searched. Because he knows that he can fall into the same pitfalls that we all do. And easily put himself in control because of sheer convenience. You know, we talk about a convenient society, McDonald's and fast food and all this, that everything's convenient. You don't even have to go grocery shopping these days, which is just still blows my mind. I can order groceries. I don't have to leave my house for anything, really. That blows my mind, coming to being an 80s kid. Like, you had to go out and do everything, like by bicycle, uphill. You know, I don't know. It was just crazy. You had to go out to get everything. And so, I just think about how crazy that is. But you know what's more convenient than that? Is a God that wants to be intimate with you, that never leaves you. And I think the unfortunate part for us Christians is that convenience a lot of times makes us lazy. I'll be the first to admit it. But that's why we need reminders like Psalm 139 that calls us out and says, "Hey, remember who I am. Remember who you are, James. Remember how much I love you. Remember that I'm always here. Remember that I created you and you are fearfully and wonderfully made. Wow, Lord, I'm sorry. Forgive me." We see an intense and intimate knowledge God has of every detail of every person's life from before birth to present, and His constant presence and care, encouraging both us to trust Him and have a sense of awe of Him. But we find Him a lot of times, over and over again, day by day, we'll re-find him, and we'll falter, and we'll find him, and we'll falter, and he knows that, and he loves us, and he says, just don't get comfortable. He said, just continue to seek me, continue to look for me, continue to open your word. As Pastor Rob said last Sunday, the distractions come. The distractions of our mind, they take the circumstances of this world, whether it's traumatic response, whether it's people with perfectionism issues, whether it's compulsive behavior like gambling or drug use, distractions, you know, they're everywhere. And probably some of the distractions that we can justify, like loving to work. I work so much, I don't, you know, I'm not saying I do, but I have, and I've been guilty of it. Where you work so much, you don't see your family. I mean, it's just true. Like, where's the balance, you know? And these distractions come. And I think what we have to remember, that any of these distractions, if they're intimacy killers with, like, between me and another human being, they're definitely going to be an issue with you and the Father. So if you just need some, like, right away application. These are intimacy killers. These distractions. And so, again, be careful, because a lot of these distractions, we want control. And the only problem with control is that it controls us. We don't get to control anything. So, how do we combat the intimacy issue of distraction? Again, going back to key points about intimacy with God. Acknowledge him in his knowing. Acknowledge his presence. Acknowledge his power. And ask for his help. As I close, as we ask for help, it starts with knowing Jesus. Jesus is the one that mediates and is created that way that we can have true intimacy. He's the missing piece. If you don't have Jesus, he's the way, the truth, the life. No one could go to the Father besides through him. So if you want that intimacy, or you're like, well, I don't know, I would love to be intimate with God. That sounds great. Everything you just said, I want more of that in my life. Well, I'm asking you to cry out and cry out to Jesus. Say, Lord, I'm tired of being the way that I am. And Jesus, I ask you that you would come into my heart, and that you would bring your Holy Spirit, and you would just make me new in you. Because John 14:23 says, Jesus answered him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and he will come to him and make our home with him. That's the home I want to live in. A home that provides that intimacy, that love, personal connection, right? That relationship, active pursuit, transformation. These are the things that his intimacy offers. A just beautiful, beautiful, beautiful relationship. Things that we don't even understand are possible. But when we look to him, when we come into agreement with him, when we acknowledge his knowing, acknowledge his presence, and acknowledge his power, and we ask for that help, Jesus, come, then we may experience this life the way he had originally intended it to be, that we might have joy in all his intimacy. Amen. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your intimacy, Lord, that you look upon us so carefully, and you just desire to be with us. Father, we just right now want to clear our consciences. Like, we just want to stop and say, Lord, whatever it is that's keeping me from true intimacy with you, Lord, whatever the distraction is, Lord, would you come and would you search our hearts tonight? Would you pluck that from us? Would you empower us with your love? Would you bring us into agreeance with you that we might draw closer and more in love with you? And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.